If you have your Bibles, hold them up. Say this with me. Say, this is the Word of God. I choose to believe it over my circumstances. I choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I've been saying now for 7 weeks that I believe that our country, the United States of America, the greatest country on planet Earth, is poised for what will become the greatest move of God that we've ever seen. I was happened to be listening to a podcast of a rather influential pastor here in the United States just a few days ago. He does not agree with that statement. He doesn't believe that at all. As a matter of fact, he believes that what is happening in our country, the COVID-19 crisis, the racial division, is all actually pushing people farther away from God. I don't see that at all. I, in the spirit, this is not Eddie Swan talking. The Spirit of God literally spoke to me months ago and said, what is happening right now is going to be opportunity for me to be lifted up on the earth. And what is John, I think it's John chapter 15, verse 12, or 12, anyway, says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'm going to do what? Draw all men unto me. And so I believe what's going to happen is that the people of God are going to lift Jesus up from the earth in the midst of all the crisis, in the midst of the racial division, in the midst of all the chaos, and we're going, because we see Jesus lifted up from the earth, there's going to be a move of God that we've never seen before. I say that again confidently because what we've been seeing now over the last 7 weeks has been evidence of that. People calling us and saying, God touched me in service and healed me. God did a financial miracle in my life. And the next day, I needed a check. And the next day in the mailbox was a check from my insurance company, unexpected. Last week, I got a text from a young lady. She was actually up here singing this service. Brittany Speakman is her name. And Brittany said to me, Pastor Eddie, last Sunday in church, you said that we needed, some of us needed to just inject Jesus into our situation. And remember, because at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And I said, something in your life needs to bow to the name of Jesus. She said, I got this broken window on my house. I'm a single mom, and I've been having this broken window on my house now for some time, and I can't afford to have it fixed. She said, so when I prayed in church, God, let my house bow to the name of Jesus. Let that problem bow to the name of Jesus. She says, when I got home, I'm telling my neighbor about what happened at church. And my neighbor says, I got a friend. And my friend said, he'll fix your window for free. The window just bowed to the name of Jesus. Now, to some of you, you might say, well, just a couple of $100s. I mean, that's no big deal. For a single mom trying to raise a son by herself without the help of the father, I want you to know it's a major deal, right? And God moved in her deal because she said, God, I'm putting you, it's going to have to bow to Jesus. And I think some of you are short of your miracle because you hadn't said, bow to the name of Jesus, right? In this series now, This Is Us, this is week number 7, the final week. Some of you probably like, thank the Lord. We're about finished the This Is Us series. I could go on because I am enjoying this so much, and I believe God has really moved in this series. I talked week 1 about vision and purpose, that New Beginnings has a vision, has a this is what we do, right? I told you, vision is what we do. What do we do? I told you we have purpose. Purpose is who we are. Who are we? That's a place for a fresh start. And then week number 2, I began to transition, and I began to talk about core values. Every one of you has some core values, things that you deem are important to your family, right? Now, you probably haven't written them down in a book, but what we did was 10 years ago, we wrote them down in a book. We said, these things are of vital importance to our church, and because they are, we're going to write them down, and we're not going to veer from them. We're going to do these things always, and they're always going to be of vital importance. Number 1 value that I talked about was what? Jesus. Do you think that that's important to a church? Yes. I would say that is important to every church that calls themselves a Christian church, right? But I want you know, it's not the most important thing to every church, because some churches are more worried about their doctrine. Some churches are more worried about their traditions than they are the name of Jesus. Oh, he'll get a mention. He'll be down like second place, third place, fourth place sometimes, depending on what's going on, because we got to get in our doctrine. We got to get in our our traditions, and it's got to be that way. Listen, no. We don't have traditions at New Beginnings. We're not very traditional, as you can see. But we are Jesus-focused, right? And we're going to make sure that Jesus gets the credit, Jesus gets the glory in everything we do. Week number 3 of the series, I talked about the value of prayer. Why does prayer matter? Because prayer changes things. A young girl in church prays, "Jesus, I need you in my situation." She prays, it happens right after church. A couple prays for a financial miracle. The next day, it shows up in the mailbox. What do you need? Have you taken it to Jesus in prayer? Week number 4, I talked about the application of Scripture. We make that declaration every week about the Bible. Why? Because we deem that the Bible is important to life. I believe the Bible is a manual for living this life, and also a manual for living the next life, right? It lets us live this life abundantly, and it prepares us for the next one. We teach the Bible for life change. Week number 5, I talked about connect groups. As we grow larger, the church must grow smaller at the same time. And our connect groups, you saw, start the week of the 20th or 21st, and then they go on until right around Thanksgiving. Connect groups. We encourage, implore, plead with you, find a group that fits you and get involved. I promise you, that community will help to change your life. Last week, I talked about service. Every member at New Beginnings, every partner is a minister. Point to the minister in the room. Very good. Very good. We all have a part to play in God's plan. Say, God's got a plan. Today, we're going to talk about people. This is not the last core value, but the last core value that we're going to talk about in this series. I went through the 10, and I picked out what I felt like were the ones that really needed to be discussed, and I saved this one for today, last but not least, and it's the value of people. People matter to God, right? And I want you to know, people matter to New Beginnings Church. I told you every week so far, what you fully give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. I take that from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal." But what did he say to do? "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." What did he say? "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." What you fully give your heart to will become of the utmost importance to you. Today, we're talking about the value of people. I want you to know, we love people because Jesus loves people. Now, so often, we look at people when they're not like us, and we think thoughts like, well, God couldn't possibly love them like he loves me. I think that all the time because I am his favorite. You know I'm joking, right? Because I get those funny looks. Like, who does he think he is? Cocky. Like, I mean, like, I say that jokingly, but also I want you to know, you can look at me and go, no, I'm his favorite. And you'd be right. Because we're all God's favorite. But the problem is as Americans, we think we're the privileged few. And we think, look at us, that God couldn't possibly love the Middle Easterner, or he couldn't possibly love the Indian or the Chinese or the South American or the African like he loves me. And you'd be completely wrong, because God loves us all. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to John chapter 3, and we're going to read a few verses. I'm going to talk about them for a few minutes. John chapter 3, verse 16, the most famous passage in the Bible. So it says, "For God so loved who?" Say that with me again. Say it really loud.
The world.
The world. What did he do? "That he gave his one and only Son, that whoever, say whoever,
whoever,
believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Look at verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Listen, in this verse of Scripture, we learn a lot about the character and nature of God and his heart towards people. Allow me to debunk a few myths about God and the people of earth, right? First and foremost, I want you to know God loves us all the same. So don't ever think haughtily that God loves you more than he loves somebody else because they don't look like you or act like you or think like you. God loves us all the same. Because it says, God so loved the who?
World.
Thank you. All right, I want you to know Jesus died for all people. Not just for some, not just for a few, not just for the select. He died for all people. For God so loved the world. What does it say? Is that whoever believes. Have you ever heard anybody say, if your God's so loving, why does he send people to hell? Listen, God doesn't send anyone to hell. That's a choice we make or don't make. Look what it says in verse 17, John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through him. Look at verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. God doesn't send anybody, right? Now, what you believe about who Jesus is and what Jesus did determines where you spend eternity. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him stands condemned already, because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Listen, you better believe in who Jesus is and what Jesus did. That's your ticket, right, into heaven. Now, how does one get to heaven? So how do we get the ticket? How do we get the ticket to heaven? How do we know for sure? Can you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Can you have the assurance of knowing if today is my last day on earth, I don't have to worry about tomorrow? How many of you ever sat in the presence of someone who was dying? I've done that many times. Some people have had the attitude of, it's okay, I'm ready to go, because they had the assurance of knowing where they were going. Others were not so, I'm kind of scared. I'm not sure. You can be sure. I would try, you can be sure. I can help you be sure. And they just were not there yet. And I watched them die, take their last breath, not knowing. Difficult for me. I'm an evangelist by nature. My desire is to see everyone know Jesus. Here's how we go to heaven. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13. Paul said to the Roman church, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth you profess your faith and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. Everyone, say everyone,
everyone,
who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. No one is outside of everyone. The process of salvation just begins with you opening your mouth from what you believed in your heart. You know, the church for so long has complicated salvation. We make it harder than it really is. It seems so easy that people, well, it just seems too easy. It can't be that easy. Yes, it can. That's how easy it is. Believe in your heart, say it with your mouth, you're done. No. Got to be more hoops to jump through. Because that's what we do as humans. God gave the Jews 10 commandments. They turned it into 627. Let's complicate things. Right? And he said, no, make it easy, 10. Here, the first four are about loving me. The next six are about loving each other. That's it. That's all you got to know. Love God, love people.
That's it.
No, 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 let's complicate it. Let's go 627. I don't want to be part of that class. I like the first class. Easy, right? You know that everyone in this world has the ability to be saved by believing. You ever made the statement, and that person can never be saved. That dude's so bad, he ain't never going to heaven. Nobody would admit it, but let me tell you, I did that. I was a fairly new believer, and I had a friend who was in my circle of influence. I told my wife, I said, that dude ain't never coming to Christ. I said that. Like, he's so rotten, dude, he ain't never coming to Jesus. I'm the one who led him in the sinner's prayer not too many months later. Yeah. God said, don't ever tell me what I can't do. I used to say, Lord, I ain't never going to the Bahamas to preach. Just kidding. Lord, don't ever send me down to like the Fiji Islands or something. Because I don't want to go. Let's get back to the topic. The fact is, at New Beginnings, listen, we love all people. And we don't differentiate between people based on skin color or nationality or what religion you were raised in or whether you're rich or poor, educated to the highest level, or have no education at all. We love you all the same. You know why? Because Jesus loves us all the same. He doesn't go, well, you know, I don't know about you. Well, he said that about some of y'all, but as people of God, we must adopt the same attitude as Jesus when it comes to people. Here it is. They're all accepted in his house and in his family. But we don't accept everybody in the house and in the family. Sometimes we get that attitude of like, it's us four no more. Or us seven no more, whatever. We got like seven. We got a bunch. A slew. But we say, well, me and my family are saved and my friends, we all saved. We're good. No, that's not good. God did that, and he did that so that you together could be more powerful to go out there and win some more. When you value people like God values people, there are some things that happen as a result. You will. Number one, love people. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. It says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Here in 1 John 4, he's not talking about loving them like a good friend loves. Well, that's my good friend. I love him. He's not talking about the romantic kind of love. Well, she's cute. I like her. You know, he's talking about the unconditional agape love of God. Now, I've heard people say through the years, you know, I love this. I love her, but, and then they begin to give all the reasons why they don't love her. I love her, but, you know, when she does this, it just grates on my last nerve. You know, I love him. I love my husband. But, you know, when he does this, oh, Lord, I want to, like, throat punch him, you know. You know that every time you add the word but in a sentence, you change the entire meaning of the sentence? I got that from an English teacher. I love you, but Jesus doesn't want us to love, but he wants, it really didn't sound good. He wants, I did this in the first service too. Jeez. All right, please excuse that. Let's back up. He wants us to love. Y'all making this unspiritual. Like, I mean, you see, I either love you or I don't love you. And I can't throw the word but in the middle. I love you, but here are the reasons why I really don't. No, I either do or I don't. And so let's not pretend that we do something that we really don't by throwing this word, this conjunction in the sentence to change the meaning. I can't love you unconditionally like Jesus demonstrated and put the word but after saying that I love you. I either love you or I don't. God calls us to love each other with agape love. That is unconditional love. I don't love you because you do this or because you do that or don't do this. I love you. That's it. 1 John 4:11 says, since God loved us, we also ought to love one another. John's not talking about as friends or romantically. He's talking about the unconditional love of God. Imagine with me if each of us, the body of Christ, just started loving each other in the church unconditionally. Because I'm telling you, we don't love each other unconditionally even in church. We have conditions. Well, you know, years ago when the church first started, we're having church on Saturday night. And as the pastor, I was, you know, fairly, the church was brand new, and we're trying to meet all the new people that were coming. And so this one guy who had been with us from the beginning got offended because I didn't talk to him on Saturday night. And I was talking to new people, and he was trying to interrupt. And I said, hey, give me a few minutes. Let me meet these new folks. And so the next day he called me to tell me how offended he was at me. And I said, do you realize that I was trying? You know I love you. We're friends. Like, you've been here since the beginning. I'm trying to meet new people, right? He didn't get that. We got to quit allowing offense to become part of our culture, right? Choose to not be offended. And if you got a problem with somebody, go to them and just say, hey, look, you know, you did this. And let them clear it up. Yeah. Don't just assume that they're doing something based on some wrong perception. Love them like Jesus loved them. I think this world needs to experience the real Jesus, right? I said this last week. Can you imagine if we, the church, just began to love one another and then this love carried out into the community? They'd say, what's different about that church? Well, they genuinely love one another. And the problem is we don't. We backbite, stab, gossip, we shoot one another. The church is the worst organization in the world that's shooting their wounded. No, we're a hospital for sick people. If you're wounded, this is where you should be. We got to learn to love people like Jesus. The second thing that we learn to do when we develop value in people like Jesus does is we reach them. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all means possible, I might save some. Paul's saying here in 1 Corinthians 9, I did whatever it took to reach the people in the world around me. I did whatever I had to do. To the weak, I became weak. To this group, I became like this. I did whatever it took because my desire was to make sure I could take as many with me as possible to heaven. Because he valued people. And if you value people, there are people around you in your circles of influence, at the places you work, in your neighborhoods, maybe even in your own families, that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And if today was their last day, they would go to hell and spend their eternity separated from God. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't sit well with me. I hope that thought shocks you into saying, today's the day I'm going to say something. Today's the day I'm going to stand up and I'm going to become all things to all people so that by all means necessary, I might win some. Yes. Will you go out of your way? Will you allow yourself to be embarrassed? Will you say things that are hard to say in public places? About 8 or so years ago, I was in Franco's working out by myself, and this guy walked over and he seemed to be fascinated with my head. I know, it's pretty fascinating. And we've had people ladies at weddings and stuff, your head is just beautiful, can I touch it? You ask my wife, I'm not sure how she's gonna feel about that. You know. Anyway, back to the story. So he was fascinated with my head, and he was telling me how he had been losing his hair, and he was taking, what was the stuff, Rogaine, and using the shampoo and the pills. He was doing everything in his power to stop this male pattern baldness from happening, right? And how, man, I don't think I could do what you do, but man, it looks great on you, and on and on. And I started to get a bit of a complex, you know. I mean, like, maybe I should use the Rogaine or something. I don't know. Well, so he leaves, and I thought nothing of it, finished working out, to get in my car, and the Lord speaks to me and says, tomorrow or the next time you see that guy in the gym, I want you to go over to him and tell him that I love him just like he is. I'm like, well, good, maybe I won't. I've never seen the guy before anyway. There's a good chance I won't see him again. All right, Jesus, no problem, right? Because that's what you're thinking. I just won't see him again. I go at a different time tomorrow. So I walk up the stairs the next day at Franco's, and as soon as I get to the top of the stairs, the Holy Spirit says, look to your right. And there he is on a treadmill. I'm like, well, maybe he's busy. He's got headphones on. Maybe I'll catch him after. No, 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 you go over there right now. And I walk over, and I get on the treadmill next to him, and I motion for him to remove the headphones so I could tell him something. And he takes one ear off so he could hear me but still hear his music. And I said, hey, yesterday, you know, we were talking, you remember who I am? We talked about my head being shaved and you trying to keep yours and all. And he's like, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I said, well, look, when I got in my car, by the way, I'm a pastor, and I was praying. I had a side of, you know, I didn't want him to say I'm just weird guy, you know. I mean, I guess I'm kind of weird sometimes, I guess. But anyway, another sermon. I said, I got in my car, I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me and said for me to tell you that he loves you just like you are, with a head full of hair or none at all. The treadmill stopped, the headphones came off, and his face got just sober, like blank. I was thinking, did I just offend this guy? He says, you have no idea. He said, 20 years ago, I was in Bible college. And I met a woman, and I ran after her, left Bible college, walked away from the Lord, and hadn't been to church since. He said, his lips starts quivering. He says to me, I needed to hear that. Right after that, I kept in touch with him for a little while. He wound up moving to Florida, but he wound up going back to church and getting reinvolved in church and stuff. But the fact is, just all because I just said what God told me to say. Now, I know it was weird, right? Two guys in a gym talking about this fascinating head, and God, and you go to another guy and you're, hey, God loves you. It just sounds weird, right? Coming from one guy to another. I want you to know that that's happened to me over and over, and I just say it. I just do it. And inevitably, every time that I do, it was what the people needed to hear because I'm listening to the Holy Spirit lead me. And when you have a heart for people, like God has a heart for people, you will go and say what God says to go and say, regardless of where it is, and regardless of how stupid you look, and regardless of whether you're going to be embarrassed or not, and regardless of whether you know the right words to say, you just go do what God said to go and do, right? Will you do whatever it takes to reach one for Christ? I want you to just think, just really quickly, just think right now, in your circle of influence, either in your workplace or in your neighborhood or maybe places that you hang out, there's somebody you know that doesn't know Jesus. How many of you know somebody doesn't know Jesus? Are you willing to go and tell them about the good news of Jesus? Be intentional this week to reach one for Christ. And remember, next week is Back to Church Sunday. How perfect, right? I didn't plan it this way. It just worked out. But next week's Back to Church Sunday. You go reach one this week and bring him or her to church, and then let God be God in their life. Amen? Number three, when you value people like God values people, you will help people. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. If we truly value people, we should attempt to help them every chance we get. Let me say this. Over the last 2 weeks, we've sent now a little over $4,000 to those two churches in Lake Charles and Sulphur, just in 2 weeks. Because I believe it's because of the heart of the people of New Beginnings to love people and want to help people. You know, sometimes when we go to help someone, you pull up to a red light, and there's a guy with a sign, unemployed, whatever the case may be, homeless. And what we do is we look at them and we begin to size them up. Are they worthy of my help? Don't lie, because we all do it. Is this just a panhandler out here making money? Is this his weekly job out here? You know what? That's not for us to determine. If God says to you at that moment, dig in your glove box, dig in your purse, dig in your wallet, and give them some money, then the only response is, yes, Jesus, here you go. Right? We got to just help. Quit trying to size people up. Listen, because if Jesus was sizing us up to determine whether we were worthy of being helped, guess what? We all get passed over. Sorry, you just didn't make the cut. But he didn't do that, because Jesus died for all people, right? If the body of Christ would just act like Christ, people in the world would be less critical of the church. We must remember that sometimes helping people, ministry, is messy. And sometimes we got to get down in the dirt with people to help them. The fourth thing that happens when you value people is that you will encourage people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Listen, we're all going through stuff. But as our stuff all looks a little different, right? But we're all going through something. We're all going through sometimes difficulty, and we all just need a word of encouragement from a trusted brother or friend. I got a call this week from a dear friend. You know what? And this is hard for guys sometimes, I think, to express feelings and express encouragement, especially when it comes to building up someone else. And my friend said to me on the phone, hey, I got to be honest. Can I tell you something? I've noticed your growth over the last year or so, and your growth in preaching is just blowing me away. I want to tell you, I wonder sometimes, am I doing a good enough job? I get the encouragement from Jesus, and Jesus always tells me I'm doing a good job. I feel like I'm doing a good job, and my wife gives me the thumbs up or the kick in the rear, you know, whatever needs to be done. But I want you to know, hearing from my friend who said to me, hey, you're doing a great job, really just built me up. Sometimes our friends, sometimes the people around us just need a word of encouragement from a trusted brother or sister in Christ to say, hey, you're doing great. Keep up the good work. I know you're not where you want to be yet, but just keep it up because you're doing great. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. I'm going to be with you all the way through. I want you to know there's nothing like an encouraging word from a friend. Encourage somebody today. And lastly, we need to protect people. If we're going to really value people, we need to protect them. John 15, verse 12 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down his life for his friends. Who do you love enough to die for? Maybe a spouse, a child, a mother, a father, someone close to you. What about someone you don't even know? Within the body of Christ, we don't even protect one another here. We kill one another here. We stab each other in the back within the church. That hasn't happened here in quite a long time, but I want you to know it happens in the church, and it happens in the church far too often. And the church, guys, We should be above that. We should not participate in that. When you hear somebody talking about a fellow church member, you should step up, regardless of how well you know them or you know the situation. You say, oh, time out right there. Listen, I don't know what you're talking about, but I want you to know that's inappropriate. We're not going to gossip about our brothers and sisters. We're going to stand up for each other. If that's not good enough for you, then you better get on up the road, because we're not having that in this church. That's laying down our life for our friends. John here is reminding us that we're commanded to love like Jesus loved. And Jesus loved so much, he laid his life down for us. And within the body, I've witnessed more than protecting one another is that turning on one another. It shouldn't be, right? If we're going to really represent Jesus to the world, then it has to start within the church. Listen, we can't be Jesus to the world until we act like Jesus to one another. Oh, because we want to come in here and shout and raise our hands, and then we go out there and we talk about people in here. You're causing conflict. The people you're trying to reach see a problem. They see a hypocrisy. Church doesn't need any more hypocrisy, right? We got enough of that in the world. Let's be authentic. Let's be real. And let's protect one another so that what the world sees is a church that loves each other the way Jesus loved the church and laid down his life for her. We value people at New Beginnings. Because we value people, these things happen. We love them. We want to reach them. We help them. We encourage them. And we protect them. New Beginnings Church, if you value people like Jesus values people, would you stand with me? If you are ready to be the closest thing to Jesus on the earth, to love like him, I want you to raise your hand. Say, I'm ready for the world to see Jesus in me. Oh God, what could we do? If people began to see Jesus in us, each one of us, God, I thank you for the men and women in this room, their heart to love you and to run after you, their heart to serve you, Jesus, their heart to minister to the people that you've called us to love those around us, God, starting right here within the body itself. And God, let that carry outside the four walls of this place into our communities, into the world. God, let the world around us see the real Jesus as the real Jesus continues to manifest in us, loving each one, each day, according to your way, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. We'll see you next week.